story yesterday from the Bible. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is St. Paul. I'm not really sure why I love St. Paul so much, but a friend once told me why. He said, "You love St. Paul because, like St. Paul, you are very arrogant when it comes to Christianity." That was the way he explained it, and he said, "You know, I am never afraid to speak about my Christian faith or what I believe in." And sometimes, even if it means alienating that person, even if it means a person is in authority, I'm never afraid of speaking up. And that's what, when you look at the Bible, that's what St. Paul did. At some point, he even challenged Peter, who is the prince of the apostles and the head of the church. He challenged him when Peter would not share their fellowship with the Gentiles. He challenged him and he spoke the truth all the time, even when it hurts. But the story I want to tell you from St. Paul is in Acts of the Apostles. And for some of you, I have a reputation already of preaching very, very loud, just in going on and on and on and on and on. That's okay. St. Paul was preaching in trance. He spent about a week there in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. And the day before he was to leave, he started giving this long teaching and sermon in the morning. He kept going on and on and on and on and on and on. And this young boy called Eutychus was sitting by the window of the room where Paul was preaching at. And the boy fell asleep. And he fell off of the window. It's an Acts of the Apostles, I didn't make it up to 20. The boy died. So what I'm saying, like St. Paul, I like to preach on and on and on and on and on. We might be here the next 40, 50 minutes, because this is my last time, at least for now, to be with you in a previous retreat. So I'm just going to keep going on and on and on and on and on and on. In the last few days, we entered into the mystery. The Paschal mystery, the passion, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this mystery is an act of love for us, the love of the Father, for us, the unconditional love of the Father. That's the only reason that Jesus Christ had to go through all he went through, because the Father loves us, every one of us personally. If it was just one person, he would do the same thing. The Father loves every one of us. Jesus Christ suffered and he died for us. And he chose his men, the 12 apostles, together with so many disciples, to follow this mission. Like himself, the disciples will also carry their own crosses. That's what the page we see throughout the weekend. Cross, cross, cross. That we all must carry our Christian crosses. And that's what Jesus Christ says in this gospel to the apostles. He says to them, "You must pick up your cross and follow me. Do not try to save your life." Do not try to save your life. He knew what was going to happen to him. He was going to die on his own cross. Die with his cross. And the temptation is for the apostles to run away from that cross, to think of their own faith in terms of Jesus' own faith. Since Jesus Christ died, I also am going to die on the cross, so I need to run away. If the apostles do that, they are trying to save their lives. And sometimes we do that every day, we try to save our lives in very little things. Because we are afraid of somebody saying, "Well, he or she is too Christian. Or it's weird. It's a funny thing." Always thinking about Jesus, always carrying his Bible around every day.
tell this story. As a young child, I love the church so much, and I still do. I am willing, ready, any moment to die for this church. I am. I grew up in the church, going to church every Sunday, every day. I went to the early mass. But I wasn't that very convinced and convicted of my faith. I, like many Catholics, were like the pre-resurrected Christians, the Christians that lived before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were very much afraid, hiding themselves in a room, not speaking about Jesus Christ for fear of the Jews, for fear of what other people might think of them. That's how I pretty much lived the first 17 years of my life. I just did the right thing, trying to keep the Ten Commandments and all that. There was no passion in me to speak about Jesus Christ to other people. When I went to college, my first year in college, I already heard about it. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal before I went to college. And my first year in college, I decided to attend the prayer meetings. Not with the best of intentions. Nah. Some of you have heard me say this. Wasn't the best of intentions. The only reason I went to those prayer meetings, because my friends invited me to come with them to the prayer meeting. The only reason I went was there were these three beautiful girls. And I wanted one of them. That was the only reason that I went. I said, if I hang around them for so long, then I might have access to them. So I looked at a prayer meeting as an opportunity for me to have access to these girls. Yeah. But I guess they were more spiritually powerful than me. So I went to the prayer meeting before I knew they were all soaking away. The Bible and prayer and all that was going, and before I knew, about Jesus Christ and what these Catholic girls and boys will do. And then I realized that there's something incomplete about my own faith. I'm a Catholic like them. How come they are so passionate about their faith? They are willing to speak about their faith on campus, and I am not. I knew definitely there was something lacking in me. While for 17 years I deceived myself and I told myself, you know, you are a very good Catholic. If you keep doing what you are doing, you are going to go to heaven. I started seeing the weaknesses in my own Christian life. That no, I am not living fully as Jesus Christ wants me to. Jesus wants me to go out and minister his word to other people. That's the call of the Bible. Then I went through the whole Life in the Spirit seminar. I did skip some sessions, but I was there on the final day when we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that changed my life. The next week, I had my Bible, and I was doing fellowship in hostels, in dorms. I was doing fellowship in the common area, and preaching. I was preaching in buses, praying in buses, public buses. No longer afraid of my faith. I was passionate about defending my faith to anyone who cares to listen to me on campus. And suddenly, I would say, you are weird. What is going on with you? You are not the person we knew before. No, you are weird. And my own family members, some of my family members, who are very good Catholics, started criticizing the way I pray. Anyway, a Catholic, you don't pray that way. Where do you learn all this style of prayer from? Keep calling God, Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ speaks in this gospel, he says, there are going to be divisions among you. Those are the divisions he's speaking about. Because as you begin to lead your faith in a very radical way, your best friends are going to oppose you. They're going to come against you. And you have a choice to make. Either either to go with your friends or to go with Jesus Christ. You have that choice. I hope you will go with Jesus Christ. I hope you will. Some of the family members are going to oppose you. You have a choice to make. Either to listen to your family and kill the faith, the spirit that God has placed on you, or to listen to God and live according to the Spirit. The easy way out would be just accept whatever your family says. If they say, you know, don't go to the prayer meeting, don't go on, you know, all that. You're trying to save your life when you do that. As Christian people, we must always remind us of the faith. We must always be ready and willing to give our faith for the sake of the gospel of Christ. It doesn't necessarily mean being literally killed. That sometimes is even an easier form of martyrdom. You are very good at that time, I suppose. But the most difficult kind of martyrdom is the one you have to live every day for 1900 years, every day being persecuted for the sake of the gospel of Christ. That's a very difficult form of martyrdom. And that's what we are called to live. Do not try to save your life. Because if you do, you are losing it. Life is worth nothing without Jesus Christ. Life is worth nothing without the Spirit. It might give you momentary joy, but that doesn't last forever. The joy that lasts forever comes from Jesus Christ. And it says to us in the Gospel of John, the joy will become big. Do not try to save your life. Always be open to the power of the Spirit. God Himself will see you through. You heard that again and again this weekend. Just be open to Him and let Him lead you. He wouldn't give you an assignment that you cannot carry through. When He gives you an assignment, He's going to support you and lead you through successfully. I ask you, in this celebration, to be open to that power of the Holy Spirit. During this celebration, we're going to invite you at some point to come forward so that we pray for you. I just ask you to be open. Just present yourself to Jesus Christ. Just relax and say, Jesus Christ, I belong to you. Holy Spirit, I belong to you. Just accept me and use me. Use my hands. Use my whole being. Use me to bring other people to you. When you do that, you'll be amazed what God will do in your life. Don't think you're too young. You are not. You are not too young. Don't think you're too young. You can do amazing things in your high school. You can do amazing things in your colleges. We are ready to give you all the resources that you need, all the support that you need. You just need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in my high school? What do you want me to do in my college to bring other people to you? If your local priest is not available to help you, call me, I will help you. I say for the fall tonight, I pray for the night, so I have a lot of time. Just ask the Holy Spirit in this celebration to use you. To use you as His agent of healing. To use you to bring Christ to other people. Don't be worried about what your classmates. you're not. Don't be worried. Because you know what? If you're in the spirit, it doesn't matter to you. You wouldn't even think about it.
We had a student last year after the Life in the Spirit seminar, one of the college students. And he left the church immediately and he went to somewhere. He and some of his friends were going to be that evening at the camp or something. And without thinking about it, he laid his hands upon one of the girls that was there at the camp and prayed over her, and she was slain in the spirit. That's something ordinary he would not do. But the Spirit led him right from that church after the Life of the Spirit and Mass, and he went and met his friends and said, let me pray for you. And he laid his hands upon this girl, and the girl received the Holy Spirit. This student is about 20 years old. Not too young. None of us is too young. None of us is too old. Never too old to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I know sometimes some of the older folks say, well, you know, at this point I'm too old already, I just need to coast through things like that. No. God can do amazing things to the age of 90. You have to live fully. In the spirit, live fully the life he has called you to live. And for most of us, and every one of us in fact, we are called to be his disciples in the midst of the world. We are called to bring the gospel to other people, to be witnesses of the gospel. So I ask you, pray this Mass that God will give you the Spirit.